Good morning, happy Sabbath. Can everybody hear me clear? I want to thank the church for y'all allowing me to come back and bring the message again today. Before I start, I would like for everybody to bow their heads with me for a short prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you so much for this Sabbath day. We want to thank you so much for the time in which we get to come together and spend time with you. But Lord, I ask you now that as I bring forth your word of life, that your Holy Spirit will be upon me. May the congregation not see me, but see you speaking through me. And I ask you, Lord, that hearts and minds shall be open to receive the message that I'm going to bring today. In Jesus' name, I pray and ask these things. Amen. Before I get started with my message, I'm going to tell you part of a story. I shared this a couple weeks ago at church. The story is about this lady. Her name is Joanne. As the story goes, Joanne was at the gas station one night. She had just got off of work, and she was getting ready to head home. When she got out of the car to get ready to pump the gas, she went into the inside of the store and paid for her gas. When she was coming back out and she was going towards her car, she noticed a guy came out, was coming into the gas station in a pickup truck. And when she went over to pump her gas, the guy pulled up behind her and he got out of his truck and he came over to her. And he asked her directions on how to get to a certain place. So Joanne explained, how do you get to this particular place that he was trying to get to? So Joanne continued to pump her gas, and she noticed the guy wasn't getting any gas, but he was kind of lingering around and kept watching her. So, you know, a lady at night at the gas station by herself, you know, she got a little nervous. So, you know, she started fidgeting a little bit, and she actually stopped pumping her gas a little early. So when she got in her car and she looked in her side view mirror, she noticed the guy was walking towards her car and he was looking at her funny. By this time, Joanne was freaking out. She took off out the gas station, shoo, straight down the road. About a minute or so as she got down the road, this same pickup truck came flying down the road behind her. And when the guy got behind her, he turned on his high beams and he started honking his horn. Joanne got terrified. So she tried to speed up, and just when she tried to speed up, the guy came behind her, boom, and rammed her truck. When he rammed her truck, it threw her off a little bit, and he came around to the side, and he started yelling and pointing at her. She was so terrified, she couldn't think about nothing he was saying. Only thing she was thinking to herself is, I got to get away from this fool that's trying to run me off the road. So she kept going, and she was heading in the direction of her home. So Joanne was thinking to herself, if I can get to my house, get in my driveway and get in the door, I'll be all right. So they got a little further down. They got closer to her home. Joanne got in. She threw her car into the driveway. Immediately, she jumped out her vehicle and ran straight for the door. She didn't even look back, but what she heard was the guy coming in right behind her. And she heard his door open and the guy yelling. Joanne got into the house and she slammed the door, and she still heard yelling on the outside. Now, before I tell you the end of this story, when Joanne got in the house, she asked herself a question that all of us ask all the time. Why is this happening to me? What did I do to deserve this type of treatment? What's going on? God, why are you causing these type of problems in my life? How many of y'all have asked God why? Plenty of times. It's something we ask God almost every other day. Now, keep in mind, before I finish the story, I want us to go through something. So with that being said, I want all of us to turn to 1 Kings chapter 17. I want us to look at verses 1 through 7. 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 1 through 7. When you have it, say amen, so I know to move on. 1 Kings chapter 17, we're going to look at verses 1 through 7. All right, does everybody have it? All right, I'm going to read it in your hearing. Just listen very carefully to what these verses says. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, As the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Get thee hence, Elijah, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. I have commanded thee ravens to feed thee there. God said, Look, Elijah, it's not going to rain. I got a nice little spot I want you to go and hang out at where there's going to be a brook. And guess what? The bird is going to bring you some food. You don't have to worry about going out and getting your breakfast, your lunch, and your dinner. Verse 5. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. Man, he had it made, didn't he? You don't have to do nothing. Everything provided. Verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and what else? Flesh in the morning. Man, he was eating good too, wasn't he? And it says, and bread and flesh in the evening. And when he got thirsty, he could drink from the brook. But look at verse 7 real close. And it came to pass after a while that the brook what? Because there had been no rain in the land. Now, folks, follow me for a second. Can you imagine what went through Elijah's mind as, you know, the brook started getting lower? And lower and lower to eventually one day it dried up. Can you imagine when, you know, God, you told me to come here and hang out by this little pool of water. It's getting lower. You don't see that? I'm starting to get nervous. Why are you doing this to me? Why not tell me to go somewhere else first where the brook is already there? Why you got me sitting here watching my brook dry up? Why are you doing this to me, Joseph? I got 12 brothers. Now I'm on the way to Egypt to be sold as a slave. God, why are you doing this to me? John the Baptist. Jesus, I was the first one to preach about you coming. I told everybody about you. I hear about you raising people from the dead. I hear about you healing people. I'm hearing about your ministry from jail. Why won't you come get me out of jail? Why are you letting me rot in jail? Matter of fact, you don't even come see me. You send disciples of yours to come and tell me to have faith. What? Jesus, why are you doing me like this? Job didn't even see it coming. All he knows is every other day, he just started watching his brook dry real fast. God started taking everything away. Joanne. All she's trying to do is pump some gas and get back to the high. Now she got a fool trying to run her off the road, and as far as she knows, the man trying to kill her. See, all of them were asking God the same question. Why are you afflicting me? Why are you allowing things to change in my life? Why am I'm constantly watching my brook dry up, and God, you see it too. Why are you not doing nothing about it? And see, you know the crazy thing about it? Every character I just named to you, were they being disobedient when their brook dried up? They were being faithful, right? They were doing everything God asked them to do, right? Joseph wasn't doing anything to make his brothers want to hate him and send him into slavery. I mean, yeah, they were jealous, but I mean, come on now, to send your brother into slavery and leave him in a pit all night? I mean, John the Baptist, I mean, he preaching, telling folks to follow Jesus, baptizing people in the river. I mean, he's being faithful. Job, what did Job do wrong? Nothing. He was being faithful. Joanne, like I said, just trying to pump some gas and get back to the house. Everybody was being faithful. But God still allowed their brook to be dried up. Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Now keep in mind everything we're talking about, and I want you to pay very close attention to what the Bible has to say about something. Like I said, just follow me. I want everybody to follow me on this. All right, it's 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. If you have it, say amen. Amen. Listen to this. Listen to what the Bible tells us when we go through situations like this. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. Folks, it is strange when bad things happen to you out of the blue. Amen? That's strange. You didn't think Joseph didn't think it was strange? We know Job thought it was strange, right? I mean, what's wrong? Sometimes we ask ourselves, God, what's wrong with you? You telling me don't think it's strange. Maybe you misunderstanding something. Go to James chapter 1, 2 verses 3, verses 2 and 3. Like I said, just follow me. Bad things happen to us, but God say, don't think it's strange. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. All right, you have it? Listen to this. James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, right before Peter. It says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Lord, we got a serious problem. Y'all know what? I don't get more patience when stuff don't go my way, folks. I have less patience when things go bad. Y'all following me? Let me put it, everybody understand. One week you get a good check. You notice on that Friday you're a little more happy than y'all. On the other week when you may get a check and it's only 10% just about what it was the week before. Sometimes depending on what you get paid determines your attitude over the weekend. Does that kind of relate to everybody a little better? Our situations determine how we act. They determine how we treat people. You know, when things don't go my way, I don't want to talk to nobody. Somebody call me, they go to pastor, click, I talk to him later. Don't want to talk to him. I don't want to talk to my wife. When things go wrong, a lot of times, the first thing you want to do is keep to yourself. But I'm reading my Bible, and y'all reading the same one too, right? King James Version, right? It's telling us, don't think it's strange and be happy about it. God, what are you trying to tell us today? That makes no sense whatsoever. Very rarely when people lose everything, you see a smile on their face, so they get happy. Because the first thing they say to you, what I have to smile about? Right? Like I said, it seems like Jesus has this thing backwards. We read a scripture earlier, and the scripture said, Revelation 14, 12, it says, here are the patience of the saints that keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. It's funny. The Bible says, in order for you to get to heaven, you have to have patience. That's a requirement. You have to be able to deal with the hard time, folks. Notice something else. It says, here are the patience of the saints that keep the commandments. Usually when stuff don't go our way, the last person we think about is God and doing what he wants us to do. Sometimes it seems like we get in trouble because we're doing what God asks us to do. And you know what we do? We get mad at God sometimes. See, the problem is, the Bible says we're looking at this thing wrong. Trials are tests that come to you every single day. Usually when we lose something of value or we lose someone important to us in our life, that's when we become tempted to distrust God and lose faith in Jesus. And once we do that, folks, we start doing stuff we ain't got no business doing. The time of trouble. You know, we always read about the time of trouble in the Bible. We talk about it in spirit of prophecy. All of us in here. Man, when they start passing laws, I'm going to die for Jesus. I'm going to go down for him, just like the people did in the dark ages. I'm going to be out there running through the woods. I don't care what I got to do. I'm going to do right by the Lord. But you know what's funny? Before the big time of trouble, the Bible talks about this little small thing called the small time of trouble. That's when they're not threatening your life. It's when pretty much the whole world turns against you because you are trying to live a Christian life. A lot of us can't even deal with the pressure of being different now. You're telling me you're going to give your life up for Jesus, but you can't live for him every day around people that's aggravating you all day long. See, we always think about the big things, but God said that, you know, y'all can't get through the little stuff before that stuff even come along. The Bible says during that time, you know, some of the best preachers in our church now, Doug Batchelor, Walter Vey, Tim Rosenberg, Dr. Neil Netley. The Bible says some of the greatest ministers are going to run out our churches in the last days. You know why? Pressure. See, it's easy when I'm up here every day preaching to y'all and I ain't got to deal with temptation, tell everybody what to do. But see, when I leave this pulpit, now I have to actually live what I preach and live what I believe. You see the difference, folks? When there's no pressure, it's easy to talk about how big and bad we are and what we are going to do and what we won't do. And see, what God is saying to you, just like when Elijah was watching the brook dry up, God is saying, I want you to see how you really are and how what you are really made of if I kind of just cause things to change in your life a little bit. Because see, we think we're a certain way, but we're really not. And see, ladies and gentlemen, God's proven isn't for us. I mean, isn't for him. It's for us to see where we really stand. Because, you know, some of us are just like Peter. Lord, all these other 11 guys, they don't like you. When everything goes down, everything hits the fan, I'm going to be right there with you, Lord. When the crowd came out, Peter pulled out a sword. I want somebody to touch Jesus. Just try to touch Jesus. Right? That's how Peter acted, right? But when everybody else went around and he wasn't surrounded by his friends, all he got around was a few little old ladies around a fire. Hey, you Jesus boy, ain't you? No, I don't know Jesus. Who Jesus? I don't know who Jesus is. He was ready to take out his sword and fight and die for Jesus, but he couldn't deal with the pressure. He couldn't deal with the pressure of being a Christian when it wasn't popular. You see that? See, we just like Peter. We claim to be one way, but then God really shows you what you are made of. See, folks, I don't care who you are. In your life, if right now, if you have smooth sailing, it's not going to always be like that. You're not going to get to heaven without going through any trials. God is not going to get you to heaven without shaking up your entire life. For instance, let's use tithing. Man, I tell you what, one week, I tell you, when I come to church and I got a big old check, I'm going to pull out my wallet and ain't no problem paying tithes this week. But you know what? What about when those weeks come up? Y'all can sit here and say y'all don't do it. But you know you count your money for your bills. And sometimes you find out, if I pay my tithes this week, I might not be able to pay my light bill. Might not be able to pay my car insurance. Might not be able to pay somebody something I promised them to pay. What do you do in situations like that? Do you always tithe? You ain't got to raise your hand and tell me, but think about that. Do you always tithe? Maybe one week out of the year you might have kept your money in your pocket? What about when people say stuff to you? My wife had an incident on the job. Her mama got sick and had a stroke, had to go to the hospital. Some jealous women on the job didn't like the fact that she left. But they didn't know the reason. Not going into all the story, but all the details. But when my wife came back to work the next day, there was a confrontation between my wife and these women. Now keep in mind, these women ain't got nothing to do with what's going on with my wife. They talking all this mess to her about her leaving work. And she said, look, my mama had a stroke and she had to go into the hospital. They told my wife, we don't give pretty much, you get what I'm saying about your mama, and you need to come to work. What you say in a situation like that? Are y'all so Christian that y'all just say, okay, Jesus loves you, and you walk off? Do some of y'all say, hold up, let me wrap my seven-day Adventism up in a bag. Can you hold this for me while I deal with these girls? These are real-life situations, folks. Are you faithful during your trial? Do you think you have it that well when somebody say something to you that you're going to act like Jesus? When I came into the church, I think it was a couple years after I got married, I went to a funeral. Now, for anybody that know me, I'm pretty laid back. I'm what you would call a circle character. They say that type of character is a person who's generally a little too nice, and no matter how you handle them, I won't cut you. I won't hurt you. So I'm kind of passive in many ways. Now, some people are like stars. You know what a star is, don't you? Got to be careful how you handle it. Because you get all cut up, you handle it in the wrong way. Some people are stars, some people are circles, some people are triangles. But I'm more of a circle. I went to a funeral one time of a cousin of mine who passed away. And a guy came up who knew my wife. And he didn't know me, but he knew my wife. Now, unbeknownst to me, I didn't know he didn't like me. For whatever reason, I don't know. And it's really not important because I never even knew the guy like that. But I did recognize him. And when he came up, I said, hey, man, I said, because I used to go out to Odell Weeks and play basketball quite a lot. I said, hey, man, how you doing? I said, my name is Terry. I think I recognize you going out there to the courts all the time. He said, I don't know you. And he had all these guys behind him. And it was like, oh, man, you did it so wrong like that. You show, that's right. Don't show him no respect. Now, I'm standing at a funeral on church grounds, embarrassed, because this guy came up and made a scene with me. Folks, I go to the gym, I work out, I say, Lord, just give me 5 minutes with him. I just want to lay hands on him. That's all I want to do. Oh, that one situation, it brought up stuff in me that I didn't know I still had in me. Don't think just because you think you a certain way, that's how you really are. The Bible says you're going to be tested. When the recession hit, I was working in Columbia, making real good money doing concrete. When the recession hit in 2008, folks, in the construction business, it hit first real hard. People were losing jobs left and right. I mean, before it got on the news and everybody was crying, we was already walking around with a cup looking for coins. It was bad for construction workers. It hit us first. Because think about it. When they stop building a house, you got about 10, 15 people who livelihood goes into building a house, carpenters, plumbers, electricians, you name it. It's in there, concrete finishers. Folks, when the recession hit, I knew about a whole lot of Seventh-day Adventists who claimed they would always keep the Sabbath. But when it came to supporting their family, you know what they did? I ain't going to let my kids not eat. I know the Lord say I don't need to work, but I'm going to go to work. Lord will forgive me. Think about it, folks. Think about it. We all say stuff. We talk. But when stuff really goes down in our life, God says, are you really faithful or do you just always talk? What about when God takes someone away from you who you were close with in your life? Do you walk away from God because he took someone from you? You see, trials are supposed to draw us closer to God. But what we allow trials to do is push us further and further and further and further away from God. After the recession hit, there was one guy. He was a real nice guy. He was one of the superintendents who we all, he used to come on the job. He used to joke with me and my Uncle Trywell and CJ and Cleisha and all of us. And when the recession hit, he lost his house. He lost his car. He lost his boat. And when he lost all that, his wife didn't like it. And then she left him. He took a pickup truck, drove off into a little side road, took a shotgun, and shot himself. Contractors who used to always pay on time, who used to always pay us our money, when the recession hit, guys who was like, I always pay people, I always pay myself, I never rob anybody. Recession hit. They got about $10,000 and they owe their subs $9,999. And they couldn't put no more houses up. You know what they did with their money? their money. And they put it in their pocket and they left town. Folks, trials have a way of showing you who you really are, and they show you your true colors. You know, if you want to hear something interesting, you know, it's not that God can't explain why bad things happen. Well, how should I put this? It's like with my daughter, with Trinity. When she was little, when she would fall down and get a scratch, usually what's the first thing a parent pull out of their cupboard? Some alcohol, right? As soon as I pull that alcohol out, she go to crying. Because she knows it's going to do what when I put it on that scar? It's going to burn, right? No, Daddy, don't put it on. It's hard for me to explain to my daughter that I have to cause her pain to make her feel better later. And see, that's how it is with God with us. He's like, it's going to hurt for now, but you have to go through this so things will turn out better for you later on. And see, we just like kids. See, us adults, we look at kids crazy. We don't know what the problem is. They won't listen. Folks, we the same way when it comes to Jesus. We question God just like kids question us. We are no different. And when you think about it, that's why Romans 8:28 says God will work out all things for those who love them. He will take these situations and he will turn them around. Now, folks, I'm getting ready to close. And I know there's a reason why God doesn't give Christians special treatment. Pretend for a minute that as soon as you became a Christian, every time you was getting ready to, you driving down the road and another car getting ready to hit you, an angel would pick your car up and move your car on a safe spot on the road and says, because you're a Christian, the Lord is going to protect you. What if every time you got a cold, God sent angels to come and touch you and your colds will be relieved? What if every time you got ready to walk past a corner, you was getting ready to stub your toe? You know how painful that is, right? Angel quietly move your leg up out of the way. What if Christians never got sick? You know what would happen? People would flood into the church, not because of who God is, but people would want to be with him because of what he can do for them. If God treated us differently than he treated everybody else, then the church would just be full of people who just looking for the fishes and the loaves and the blessings. AKA prosperity gospel. All you gotta do is come to the Lord and you have everything you're gonna ever need. Folks, that's not how it works. I'm sorry. Sometimes I wonder how those preachers talk to their congregation when a person comes to them and they say, well, you know, I've been coming to the Lord. I pray, I study, and I still got all these bad things happening to me. The Bible says you're going to have trials. You're going to have to deal with these trials. Jesus don't want to spend the rest of eternity, folks, with people who are just looking to get something out of them. Jesus wants to spend eternity with people who really want to be with him because of who he is. And there's nothing that we can give God that he doesn't already have. The only thing that we can give him that he don't have is you yourself and your heart, folks. And you see, because Jesus wants us, Jesus has to use something that he really doesn't want to use, but it's the only thing that gets our attention. And you know what that is? Pain gets everybody's attention. Folks, when life going easy, we ain't thinking about God. I don't need God. Everything is being taken care of. But when God starts drying your brook up and he takes everything away from you, it's funny how we start dropping back down to our knees. Lord, help me. I need you. It's because for some reason, when we have everything we want and when everything is going good, we ain't thinking about Jesus. I'm going to tell you what happened with Joanne. When Joanne got into the house, she ended up calling the cops. She stayed in the house. The cops came to her home. When they got to her home, the cop knocked on the door. She opened the door. She said, oh, thank you, God. I'm glad y'all here. She walked out the door and she saw the man who was pretty much trying to run her off the road standing in the yard. She said, "Officer, that's the man that tried to kill me. That's the man that tried to take my life." And he said, ma'am, calm down." He said, "That's not what happened." And he said, "Ma'am, when you was at the gas station, the guy saw another guy hiding in the back seat of your car with a knife. And he didn't know how to warn you without the guy getting to you first. So when you went to go down the road," he said, "the guy kept trying to flash his lights and blow his horn to let you know that, you know, there was a person in your car." He said, "A couple times when the guy came up with a knife and tried to stab you," he said, "that's when the guy rammed your car." The guy who she thought was trying to hurt her was trying to save her life. Listen to this, and I'll end it on this. There's a story. I never forgot the story. I read it years ago, but I never forgot it. The story goes, there was a guy who was stuck up in a tower, and there was no way for him to get down from the tower. So he had coins in his pocket because there was a path below the tower. And what he did was he dropped coins down every day, hoping somebody would look up and could, you know, say, "Hey, and you know, there's a guy stuck with it." Because for some reason, when he yelled down, they couldn't hear him. So what he did was he would drop coins. And he said every day he did that, people would walk by and pick up the coins and they would keep going. They would walk by and pick up the coins and keep going. But nobody never looked up. So one day the guy got mad. He pulled a little rock, a little part of a brick out of the wall, and he threw it down and he hit somebody in the head with it. When the person who caught the stone in their head, you know what they did? Y'all get it? God got to hit you with a brick to get your attention? You know, I never would have came to this church if God hadn't caught me during a tough time in my life. I can tell you right now, knowing me, when I think back on my conversion, I would have never become a Seventh-day Adventist, let alone I would have never became a Christian if God had hit me with a brick. Amen. What I'm saying to everybody in here is don't wait to get hit by that brick, folks. It hurts. And sometimes brick leaves scars. So keep in mind, don't wait for things to go wrong before you start going to God. Go to God now and have patience with him. Continue to follow him and be with him. Amen.